Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It said, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then if we go on to John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "In him was the light, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning, if you will, very simply on the subject of a spiritual eclipse. A spiritual eclipse. We know that there is the eclipse that takes place, and the eclipse, you know, it says in our word here as we're looking at this, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." Same thing happens in an eclipse. It's still there. We just don't see it. And same thing happens in our life spiritually. There's things that come into our life that get between us and God. He is the Son, S-O-N, okay? But there's things that get between us that block our view and block our spiritual walk with him, if you will. An eclipse, it says, works on wildlife and all of that. It has an effect. Animals of the day are mainly, but not all, vegetarian. Squirrels, birds, etc. But the nighttime animals are mainly flesh eaters. The owl, the coyote, the wolf, and go on and on. They're governed by light more than they are time. You know, we're governed by time. If we want to get up, we have to set an alarm clock. You know, I used to, when I was deer hunting, Brother Jared, all the time, when I was bow hunting, to me, like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, when you hear that first owl hoot in the middle of the woods, you know, that's like late afternoon. To me, that was like an alarm clock to the deer, start watching. You know, you're going to start seeing them move because some of the creatures of the night are beginning to arouse. It's still a little bit before dark sets in, but still, yeah, to me, that was almost like an alarm clock. I'd start to the deer. I'd start watching closer than I was before. So we find that there are many that are governed by light, not time, okay? Like our spiritual life, we're governed by the light of God's love, not by our time we've spent with him, not by our time we've spent in the house of God, not by our time that we can say, "I'm a Christian," or "I've lived for God," or I've lived for God 150 years or whatever, okay? That doesn't matter. What matters is our relationship and our experience with him. An eclipse is when light is blocked by an object. Darkness is what prevails. Remember the big deal that we had a couple years ago, and then we had one again, I think it was last year. The eclipse we had that took place, the one was right there in Marion. I remember I never did before, even as a child or whatever. Who cares about the eclipse, you know? I had other things to do. But we sat on our back deck and we watched, and we had the glasses, and we watched the actual eclipse take place. First time in my life, you know, and I'm just a young man, but it's the first time in my life that I had ever watched, actually experienced this, of setting aside the time and actually watching and observing and seeing this. And it was really amazing because all of a sudden you see the moon coming over and it partially blocks and all of this, and then all of a sudden it's just gone. And all of a sudden, everything changes. The birds stop singing. Things start, it's like they're like, "What's happening here?" You know, and things just happen. The temperature changes. Did anybody notice that? You know, the temperature can drop as much as 20 degrees during an eclipse. And so it was a big deal. And like I said, that was our first time, or my first time, of actually really taking the time and setting it aside. The sun was still shining, but the moon blocked the light, okay? Now, the sun, according to Mr. Google, now I've always heard it's 93 million miles from the Earth. How many of you witnessed to that, okay? Would some of you call Google and tell him he's wrong? Because Google says it's 91.5 million. Now, who am I to argue with Google, right? So the moon is 238. Now notice, the sun is 91.5 million miles. Now that's a pretty good road trip. The moon is 238,900 miles from the earth. Okay? So there's a little difference. Now, looking at the moon, how many of you notice, looking at the moon, it's the same size. Looking at it from Earth, it's the same size. Looks the same size as the sun, don't it? I wished I was a computer, you know, I'll say whiz. I don't want to say the other word, but I wished I was one of these computer whizzes because I'd love to put this together. Now, use your, they got it? They got it? Praise God. Okay, show me the bicycle tire, if you will. Okay. Okay, there, the bicycle tire. Now, we're missing one little thing here, but that's okay. Use your imagination. Here's the bicycle tire. In front of that bicycle tire is a little pebble. Okay, the size of the end of your finger or smaller. Okay, in comparison, that bicycle tire would be the size of the moon, I mean the sun. That pebble would be the size of the moon. That's the comparison. But yet when you look out there into space, they look the same size, don't they? Basically, they look. Why? Because one is 91.5 or 93 million or whatever, however, whichever one you want to go by, okay? I mean, what's 1.5 million miles among friends? So you got 93. I've heard it all my life, 93 million miles. So I'm going to stick with that. I don't care what Google says. But you've got that, and then you've got the moon, which is 238,000. You might as well say 239,000 miles away. I mean, again, what's 1,000 miles among friends? So that's what it is. It looks the same, but they're not the same. The sun is so far away that whenever they come in alignment together, that moon, which is so much smaller, like the size in comparison to the size of a pebble compared to the size of that full-size bicycle tire, okay, it blocks the sun. Okay? Same as in John 4 and 1. He's the light of men, the Son of God. Something comes between us. Now we cannot see as clear, or maybe not even at all. There's times when we allow something to come between us and God. There's times when we allow something, whether it's something we're doing or we're beginning to do or something, well, you know what I'm saying. We allow something to come between us and God, and sometimes it's just a partial eclipse. Not fully blocked, but I'm here to tell you something. In this eclipse, if you don't take care of it ahead of time, the next thing you know, it will be a total eclipse. You'll be looking, wondering where the sun went. You'll be looking, wondering what happened. How did this get? How did I get in this situation? Because now all of a sudden, I don't see it anymore. Now things are totally different in my life, if you will. It's because the only difference is in most times, you know, we allow it. Not necessarily always, and I'll get to that in a minute. But a lot of times we allow it because there's things that come into our life that we allow that when we first started living for God, we wouldn't have thought of. But as we begin to be more acclimated like the frog in the kettle, next thing you know, it hasn't hurt me. So, and next thing you know, we allow these things and come into our life. And some of them can be needful things. Some of them can be work and can be job and can be different things that we allow. But we have got to watch because if we're not careful, and we notice when that sun begins to be partially blocked. You do not notice that. You feel something different. You know there's something different. You know we've got to find out what's going on because I just don't feel the same as I used to, okay? What happened from then to now, okay? The only thing that mattered, remember the first night of repentance and the first night maybe you got filled with the Holy Ghost? How many of you remember that? Been a day or two ago, but I remember it, okay? So remembering that first night, the only thing that mattered was God and our relation with him, was it not? We're new convert, newly converted, on fire for God, couldn't get enough of it all. Anybody remember that? Couldn't get enough of it all, man. We wanted everything, and we wanted to be in the house of God. And I mean, if they was going to sweep the floor, we might want to be here. All right? I remember in the old building, which I'm not that old, but I vaguely remember. But I remember in the Red Room especially, Brother Caraway would have, I remember us having 7-week revival. And it wasn't Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, folks. The only night off was Monday. And I remember on a Sunday night, Brother Caraway would, and it happened more than once, and not always that long. Sometimes it was only 3, 4, or 5 weeks, okay? But I remember on those times, Brother Caraway and some of you others, how many of us, is there any others here that, boy, please, some others, oh, thank you. I don't want to be the only one here. Okay, thank you. Whew, boy, I thought I was the only, never mind. But anyway, Brother Caraway would stand up there on a Sunday night and he'd say, folks, I really feel like, and the evangelist really feels like we need to go on with this revival. We've had Holy Ghost, people getting the Holy Ghost. We've had people delivered from spirits and stuff like that, which, Lord, I long to see some of that stuff again. But we'd have the Holy Ghost move, okay? Brother Caraway would stand behind the pulpit on Sunday night and say, folks, I believe in the evangelist boat. We feel the same. We need to go on with this revival. But now the only thing, we've got to have money to do it because he has to be paid and he's going to cancel his revival. And man, people are just, you know, I'll give, and it wasn't no problem. And so we'd go through that week and come Sunday night, we'd go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and come Sunday night, Brother Caraway would say, I believe we really need to go on with this revival. The evangelist feels the same way, this, that, et cetera, et cetera. But the only thing is, we got to finance it. Now, how many of you feel like that would, I mean, there was no problem. Boy, well, I better watch what I say. But now, I wonder what would happen if we had a six night revival now. You know, 7 weeks, six nights a week. Monday was the only night off. Remember that, sister? Monday was the only night off. Several times we've had it 3 and 4 weeks, even 5 weeks. But what happened from then to now? You know, and like I said, remember the first night of repentance in our life and all of that. What matters with God and our relationship? What happened from then to now? A partial eclipse or a full eclipse? What have we allowed to get between us and the sun, if you will? What have we allowed to rob us of that blessing and wanting to be in his presence, wanting to be in the house of God? What happened from them to now, to that partial or that full eclipse? Maybe it can start out as a partial eclipse, as in the natural, if you will. You know, there all of a sudden, several times we've had partial eclipses, you know, where it comes over and just almost blocks the sun but doesn't quite. But then the last few times we've had a total full eclipse. And sometimes that's the way it is in our life spiritually. There's a partial eclipse because things we allow in our life, we're still coming to the house of God. We're still living for God. We're still doing some of the things. But yet there's something there. It's not quite the same as it used to be. There's something there, we're not on fire like we used to be. And we know there's something that's hindering. We know that there's something there between us that's causing. Now, and if we stay in the same place, it becomes a full eclipse before you know it. You know, when we see that and we realize that that's happening, if we stay there and continue where we're at, it's going to become a full eclipse. And the next thing you know, we're wondering, where's the sun? And the next thing you know, we can be out on the street forgetting it back what we was doing before. So what we've got to do is recognize when that eclipse is coming, when there's something to block us from the sun, from God, from Jesus Christ. There's something that's blocking us from that presence of his Spirit. And then we've got to get back in tune with that. We've got to recognize it. And the thing of it is, if we were like last year, we were on our back deck watching that eclipse. Now, if all of a sudden I could have transferred myself over, say, 300 miles, it wouldn't have been a full eclipse. So what had to move? Me. So if you're coming to that point where you feel it's not exactly the same as it used to be, If you're coming to that place where you feel like, or maybe it's almost completely blocked out, it's not him that's going to move. You know, I've used that analogy before many times. Well, it's just not the same. It's just, you know, he's not where he used to be. Who moved? My word tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if something moved or something changed, it's not him. It's me. I've got something in my life that I've allowed to come between me and him. All right? So if we stay in the same place, it becomes a full eclipse, if you will, before you know it. My life, as an example, when it came to God's call, okay, I got in church, back in church, after I come home out of the Marine Corps. Many of you have heard of me say it before. After I come back home out of the service, I was on drugs and alcohol and all that stuff for a couple of years. But when I gave my heart back to God and God delivered me of all that, I was doing real good, Brother Ernie, until God said, you know, you had a call on your life. It hadn't gone anywhere. God's gifts, and doesn't it say God's gifts and callings? Somewhere I read that. God's gifts and callings are without repentance. And so I was doing just fine until all of a sudden it began to knock on my door. And Jim Johnson sat there beside me. We was playing basketball in a rent of the gym at Chittyville. And he sat beside me there on the sideline. I went over and sat down for a little while to give somebody else a chance to play. And he put his hand on my leg, and he was one of the elders of the church then. He said, I want to know what you're going to do. I said, what do you mean? He said, you were called to preach. I remember when you preached your first message when you was 12 years old, I can still tell you what it was. Well, that was it. I was out and running like a scared rabbit because I didn't, you know, I allowed something to come between me and God because I didn't want that. You know, you've heard these preachers. I've heard these preachers many times. I wanted to preach and be a pastor all my night, this boy. I had other plans in life. So some say, I wish I still had the, and you might be one. I have been one. I wish I still had the relationship with God that I first had. Anybody ever thought that? Wished I still had the same relationship with God. I've only got one question. Who moved? Who moved? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we're not the same, then who moved? I have to say I moved. Okay? I can't allow Satan to block the light of God's love in my life. I can't allow him to put things, and sometimes it might be work. Sometimes it might be something that we're allowing to come in and ease its way in. And I'm here to tell you something. The devil will ease his way in. He won't just come barging in because he's not the smartest thing. You know, he's not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. However, he's not the most ignorant for sure. He's had a couple years to be around and practice this thing. Okay, so he will begin to gradually come in, and there's things that we can allow to come in and slip into our life, and we open the door for. And the next thing you know, though, if we know whether it's right or whether it's wrong, or we know there's something there that's hindering our relationship with God. And it's up to us at that point. We've got to move. If there's something between me and the Son, I've got to move to get out of that eclipse. There's something between me and him. It's up to me to move and get in the right direction in the right place. Okay? And it can't. We can't allow Satan to block the light of God's love. It doesn't happen all at once. Examples: maybe a job, maybe a friend, maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe something you're watching, allowing. And I'm here to tell you something. You've got to watch that today because, and especially somebody that has a problem or has had a problem with something like pornography or whatever, because he will bring it up where we're not even. And I've heard preachers talk about, I'll be honest with you, I've never had this happen but one time since I've been in the ministry and since I've been, and that one time I told my wife, because I was trying to clear myself up, I said, look what just popped up. She goes, oh, my God. But I wanted her to know I wasn't looking for this thing. But that's the only time. I've never had that situation where it just pops up, okay? But I know that there are people that have stuff that just comes. Well, the devil knows what to bring our way. And that's one of the most magnetic things that he can bring, because all of a sudden when something like that, it's easy to begin, if you're not careful, to look. And the next thing you know, it's easy for him to take you to another spot accidentally on purpose. Hello? just checking and see if this is still working. We can't allow Satan to block the light of God's love. And again, it doesn't happen all at once. Job friend, boyfriend, girlfriend. Satan causes the eclipse in our spiritual life, regardless of time. Condemnation, conviction, there's a fine line between those two. That hinders our relationship and our worship, if you will. We've got to realize there's a fine line between condemnation. You know, the Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? So we have to realize that condemnation, but there's a difference, and I hope we have enough discernment to be able to know the difference between condemnation, Satan beating us over the head with something, and the convicting of God's subtle pull and draw, saying you really shouldn't be doing this. And he's not going to come in. Satan will come in and beat you over the head. God won't. God will move in such a subtle way and let us know, hey, you're getting into a wrong place. You're getting into a wrong field here, okay? It's a fine line. It hinders our worship. Another thing that can hinder is anger and hatred, if you will. Matthew 5, 22 through 24, he says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. And again, we have to realize something, and I've said it before, but I had a preacher friend of mine, been a friend, lifelong friend, from right here at Monroe one time. And we'd hunted together and stayed all night at each other, but he got something in. I know it's hard to believe, but he got something in for me. He didn't like me. Yeah, it's hard to believe, ain't it? But anyway, in that situation, I knew there was that, and I didn't hold no bitterness there, even though there had been some problem there at one time. And so I went to him. I was in Sparta at the time, and I really got ready to pray and went to the altar in a church by myself there during the day. And I stopped by the church, and I was praying, and that scripture come to me, if your brother holds aught against you, go to him being reconciled. I called him. He lived about 20 miles, 25 miles away, something like that. And I said, hey, brother, are you in the altar? Are you there? He said, yeah. I said, oh, I want to come by for a minute. All right. So anyway, I went by. And I walked in, and I said, I wanted to talk to you for a moment. He's very cold, very, very rude. And I said, I wanted to talk to you for just a moment. I said, I want to tell you, you know, and I told him the scripture. And I said, I'm sorry for the way things have turned out. Now, I did not hold an ounce of bitterness against him. I really did not. But God brought that scripture to my mind when I got ready to pray. So I needed to go to him and make it right and get it taken care of. And I said, there's a difference, and we've been friends all of our life. I said, there's a difference, and I don't like that. I don't want that. He said, there's always going to be a difference. I'm a pastor. You're just an assistant. You're a saint on a pew. I said, okay. So I'm sorry things turned out the way they did, and I'm sorry that our friendship has went like it has. Well, that's just the way it is. You're just a saint on a pew. I walked out. Well, of course, it wasn't 6 months later. He's not pastoring, and adultery and other things happened, but my point is, sometimes we got to go, and I'm one that you talk about a hard lump to swallow. Pride's a hard lump for me to swallow, okay? But there's times when we got to swallow pride, and we got to come back, whether it's to an individual or whether it's to God, saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you know. And sometimes it may not be that I really done anything wrong, that just like in that situation, but I've got to get things right with my brother or my sister. I've got to have things. If I can't have things right with them, I can't have things right with him. And that can be the eclipse that comes into our life sometimes that gets between us and the sun. Okay? So he said, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come. Okay, strife, quarreling, contention, envy, jealousy, and spite. These things can come into play. And the next thing you know, we're wondering, boy, I'm just struggling spiritually. I just don't understand. I'm struggling spiritually. And you know, we have to realize there, we allow that, just like with that moon, that eclipse, we allow that spiritual eclipse because, and I don't think, it does not, just like with a regular natural eclipse, it doesn't happen just instantly. Because we begin to realize there are things in our life that are coming in or that are there or bad feeling or whatever it is. We begin to realize, and God's conviction will always work if we'll let it. Okay? And one of the big problems today is worry and sin, you know, in our life. Of course, sin's always been a problem. But a lot of times the worry. Astronomers, okay, that's the science of celestial bodies. They can tell of eclipse of the past, even before B.C., you know, B.C., to centuries ahead. You know, these astronomers, they can tell you, you know, they can tell you when an eclipse was before Christ. They can tell you when an eclipse was 100 years ago. They can tell you when an eclipse is going to be 100 years from now. Me, I can't hardly tell you what I'm doing after I get through here. But they can tell you ahead of time. They got it figured out, okay? They can tell you of that eclipse. You have a spiritual scientist, if you will, who can tell of the future eclipse in your life, Jesus Christ and the spiritual eclipse, if you will. Because he's not going to leave you there and all of a sudden you're in the darkness. His convicting spirit and power will always be working in your life if you'll let it. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's even if we've lived for God and started failing him, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we can begin to feel that tug. Why? Because that one is drawing us. That one's dealing with us. He knows what we're fixing to have. We're fixing to get ourselves into a full eclipse. The next thing you know, if we're not careful, we can be right back out there in the world doing the things that we used. Oh, that'll never happen to me. Oh, it can happen. I can guarantee you because I've been there and done that. It can happen. But whenever that spirit begins to tug on our heart, it's up to us to begin to get back in line, if you will, or it's up to us to move from this place of where we had the temporary partial darkness into the light of his love and then back into that place. Because if we stay where we are, I'm here to tell you it's going to be a full eclipse and we're going to be wondering what happened to the sun. Where'd it go? Now I'm living in darkness. Now I'm back into drugs. Now I'm back into alcohol. Now I'm back into this and back into that. So we have to realize, we have to get a hold of this thing. You know, you have that spiritual scientist in your life who can tell you of the future. And it don't just happen. We know, can I get a witness? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? We know when we're beginning to slip a little bit, when we're beginning to allow something to come in and all of a sudden it begins to block part of that light of his love in our life. We know it may not be going out into the world of sin and doing all the things that we used to do, but it don't have to be that way and it won't start that way. The devil's not an idiot. Okay? So he can tell you of the future and the eclipse and the things that's coming. An example is Peter. He was warned. He said, you're going to deny me. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, no, not me, Lord. Yeah, you're going to deny me. Before this day is over, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, not me, Lord. Uh-huh. Three different times. No, I'd never do that. Well, he was even so brazen that when they came to get Jesus, he cut off the ear of one of the servants trying to defend him. So we'd say, okay, yep, he's right. It wouldn't be him. Oh, no, the devil ain't done yet. So the next thing we know, he's in the situation where he's among. We have to watch who you hang and hobnob with. That can block you from the sun. Because next thing we know, he's hobnobbing and he's sitting around the fire with some others. And they begin to say, hey, ain't you? Oh, no, no, not me. So we have to watch who we allow ourselves to associate with. Because if we're not careful, we can be like the Apostle Peter. We can be saying, no, or we may not be fully denying him, but if we're not real careful, we're not going to stand up for him either. But fortunately, he made the right response. You know, when he realized And he did just exactly what the Lord told him he was going to do. But when he realized that he was doing it and what he was doing, he went back and said, "Oh God. Oh God." He wept bitterly. He came before God. "I got to get things right." But then we have another one. Again, our spiritual scientists of the Lord dealing with the heart. Judas, he had an eclipse. He was forewarned. What happened to him? He wasn't like the Apostle Peter. He didn't go back and get it right. He decided to take things into his own hands. Okay? I feel there, and the reason for this, and the reason I've come to this, I feel there may be some here, and the Lord dealt with me over this Friday. I feel that there may be some here that see or feel a spiritual eclipse in your life. Don't wait until the sun is fully blocked. Don't wait until it's the darkness of night in your life. It doesn't catch us by surprise. We don't wake up all of a sudden one morning and we're a sinner, gone back to the old life. No. The devil's not an idiot. And so these things begin to, just like with the eclipse of the natural, these things begin to happen gradually. And they don't catch us by surprise. We have a knowledge something's coming. Something, it's not quite the same as it used to be. And honestly, I guess, and honestly, and everybody here would probably say the same thing. It'll probably never be like it was the night you got the Holy Ghost. But yet it seems the farther we get away from that night, the farther we get away from where we were at then. Okay? Yes. Yeah. 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 And you feel it. And you know it. And again, it's not like flipping a switch. It don't happen right now. It's something just like that eclipse, you know. If you didn't know it was coming, you know what I'm saying? It could happen. Next thing you know, it's totally dark in the middle of the day. And I'm wondering what happened. These animals they don't get the news. They don't know this thing's coming. I just wonder what it's like for them that all of a sudden, shazam. You know, here we are. My word. You know, what do we do now? Temperature's changed. It's dark. It shouldn't be night. Sometimes we almost wake up that way spiritually. What happened? And it didn't catch us by surprise. Okay? I close. I'm only going to land twice. I'm going to touch and go, and then I'll land. We all have our eclipse, just as in nature, an occasion. Okay? Only we don't have the scientist to forewarn us. Though Jesus tries, he many times puts obstacles in our way. Many times he tugs at the heartstrings. Anybody ever been there before, honestly? If I could get my feet up in the air, I'd do that too. Okay? Because I've been there so many times. And next thing I know, I'm going, oh man, I gotta get out of the shade here. I gotta get back over in the light. It began to get a little cold over there. And I know that he hasn't moved. So I've allowed other things to come between us. So now it's up to me to move and make the change and make the move, if you will. He tries. Many times he puts obstacles in our way. We can either recognize them, walk around them, or fall over them. Let me say this in closing number two. Now you can relax. It may not always be something we did. It could just be a trial or something better God has for us. Sometimes, you've heard me give my personal testimony before, but when we were in Sparta, before we went to Belvedere, God took everything from us. Business, house, a job, everything. Why? Preparing us, because if I had all that in my hand, Brother Arnold, I wouldn't have left to go to Belvedere. And I'm telling you, talk about a spiritual eclipse. Yeah, there wasn't wrong in the life and wasn't doing things wrong, but it was just a simple fact that we were struggling because God was trying to loosen everything from our grip. so that he could take us to use. Sometimes it might be health. Sometimes it might be, and all of a sudden we feel like we're so far from that place, or we're in that spiritual eclipse. It may not be that we've done something wrong. We have to understand that. Sometimes it may be something that we're going through because God's got something better for us that he's bringing along. If he hadn't done the things that he did, we would have never known what it was like to have a revival with 85 people in a year and running 120, or 85 people in 8 months and running 125 in a year and all this. We wouldn't have known that. And later on, I'm looking back singing, man, you know, you heard that old song, "It's Going to Be Worth It All." Well, I was singing that then. It was worth it all. You know, and at the time, and some of yous, I've said it before, and some of yous have been in the same place. How many of you have ever thought, man, I wished I was as close to God as I once was? Anybody ever done that? Anybody that's lived for God, you know, much more than overnight, I think, has. I wished I was as close to God as I once was, okay? I got to thinking that one day, boy, I wished I was as close to God as I once was. And then I got to thinking where I once was. And it's like, well, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute, baby. Because when I was, and I didn't realize at that time, I was going through that trial I was talking about. But later on, I'm thinking, man, I wish I was as close to God as I once was, and God took me back down memory lane, and it's like, I was closer to him then, than I didn't feel it at the time. You know, but that's like that Footprints in the Sand poem. I didn't feel it at the time. But when I began to say, I wished I was close to, and God said, okay, let me take you down memory lane. And I look back and it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to be that close or not. That was tough, you know, but yet we have to realize sometimes we're going through and it might seem like that spiritual cliff. It may not be because of something we've done wrong or sin we've allowed. It could be because God's trying to take us to a different level. So when I'm talking about this morning, that doesn't mean everybody here's got things in their life and sin in their life and all. We have to understand, sometimes there's health reasons and other things that we go through, okay, that God is trying to move us to an entirely different level. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. And we've got to know, just like that eclipse when we're in that time frame, I could thank God that it wasn't going to be like that forever. If I could have just wait for just a little bit, a few minutes, the sun's going to begin to shine a little bit again. And then the next thing you know, it's going to be shining a little bit more. Next thing you know, it's full daylight and everything's just like it was. And so it will be, only it'll be better. You know, you've got to trust. We've got to trust God. So looking back, wishing I could be as close as I once was. Nah, boy, that was... Looking at the present song, it's going to be worth it all. You hold true to God. Don't let Satan trip you up. Know this, the light of God's love will shine through again. You might be going through a trial. It might be health. It might be no telling what in your life. But I'm here to tell you, the light of God's love will shine through again. You have to move into the light of his love and continue searching for that light. He'll always be there to be your strength if you'll let him. Many times it is something we have allowed to come between us and God, between you and the light of God's love. Not always. Sometimes it's, again, it's something we're just going through because God's trying to move us or get us to move out of the shade into the light. We can justify all the way to hell if we want, or we can choose like Judas, or we can be like Peter and face the situation. Question is, do we stay in darkness or do we move back to the light? If in trial, the sun will shine again. If you're in a situation right now and you're wondering why you're in that situation, I'm here to tell you the sun will shine again. It will be, it's still there, but it will shine again. And sometimes we have to move because if it's something we've allowed. Sometimes we just have to stay there and trust God and it'll move. However, if there's something that's come between you, it's time to move back into the light of God's love. And the most important thing is that we get, Peter did it. I mean, I can't imagine, Brother Ernie, how hard it must have been, or what I think it must have been, for Peter to have tried to get back to where he was when Jesus warned him, told him, plain as day, this is what's going to happen. And it happens. I would have had a hard time getting things back and feeling like I was back in the graces of God again, because I've been warned. I've been forewarned. I've been told by him. But I'm here to tell you, that's why he says, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he's asking. That's what he's looking for. And if you're here today and you're going through the trial of life, whether it's health or whatever, all you've got to do is just begin to ask him for more of the grace of God to help you through it. And he'll help you. He'll be there. He'll strengthen you.